July 6, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Black Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Muhammad addresses religious issues that deviated. So this helps us understand what was given before. You see, the prophet came to address major issues in religion that came before and had gotten off track. To correct the perception, did you know from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, that these are great books, these perfect books, if you understand what I'm saying? Oh, the Bible is not perfect. And a lot of what you got out of the Quran is not perfect either. So your perception is not right. But if you have the right perception, you will see the correct language and reading in the Bible is perfect. Not all of it, but you will find the perfect language in the Bible if your heart is right and you have the intelligence and the support of God. Oh, yes. You can find it in the Bible. Muhammad found it in the Bible. Oh, he didn't read the Bible. That is what you think. He did not follow the Bible. He did not know the Bible. The Bible was accessible. If it was not accessible, why did he say to Ali, his cousin, who had a Bible? Now, this is in established hadith, if he says, Ali, what's wrong with the Quran that I brought? I think he only wanted to caution his cousin. Ali, may God be pleased with him, with Ali, raddahi Allahu anhu, raddahi Allahu anhu. That's the traditional saying, meaning may Allah be pleased with him. So that is all. The prophet knew Ali was not going to convert to the Bible, Christianity, or Judaism, but he just wanted to caution him. All of us need to be cautioned when we pick up the Bible because it is very, very stubborn and powerful as a deceptor, a deception, as well as pure guidance. So getting back to the scene of the beginning of mankind in Adam, the Satan knew that he had to give the human being a new perception from himself if he was going to gain what he wanted to gain, and that is complete authority in the life of human society. That is what he wants. That is what he aspired for. I didn't continue it, but perception is the major theme in Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, the last chapter of the Quran. Perception, certain vision, every eye shall see him. So quickly reflecting on the great issue of perception, in the Bible it says, and every eye shall see him. And the Bible talks about the light and the darkness, the world receiving light, and then coming under darkness. And it ends with the whole world becoming light. That's how Revelation ends. So with the whole world coming light, everything, from everywhere, there was light. It started on the throne, where they went out and filled the whole earth. And the whole earth was filled with light. So the light is for ours. The whole book is for perception. It is to grow the right perception in human beings, especially in leaders, so that the world of man would be established in the best way. Perception, isn't that what you go to school for? To improve your perception of things? Isn't that why you went to college? To improve your perception of things? Yes. Education improves our perception, better our perception, and when our perception is better, the life is better. You just feel so much better. So I'm sure the garden was not a dark place. I think it was a very bright, well-lit place, lit with the best of light. Perception, every eye shall see him. Why should it be said, every eye shall see him? Isn't it enough to have our leaders see? No. God has put it in the very nature of every human being to want to see clearly, to want to understand. So you are burdened when you have a whole lot of knowledge and you do not understand it. That's a big burden. You are burdened when you hear a whole lot of preaching and you understand but a little, but a very little. That leaves you burdened. That's a big burden. Allah didn't create you to carry that burden forever. He created you to grow in intelligence, to grow in perception, so the burden would be light. The balanced community. The balanced community, now I have to make some notes as I go to that Satan had a plan, didn't he? Now, when you read in the Quran where it says, and they plan, and Allah planned, and Allah is the best of planners. Don't just hear that and say, that's right. And you are thinking in a little focus, a little small, unimportant situation. No. When you read that, be aware. The greatest deceiver, Satan himself, the Satan that he is, the one who started everybody else to planning in a way to make trouble. And Allah is the best of planners. It means Allah is going to overcome Satan's plan. And when he overcomes Satan's plan, the rest of them are done away with automatically. Mr. Farad, I sure like his courage and great wit. He said, can a devil fool a Muslim? Answer, not nowadays. That day just arrived. Those days he was foreseeing, they have arrived. So most of what we perceive has been influenced by the Satan himself. So here is our perception of the universe has been changed. What we perceive is mostly influenced by the Satan himself, even the way we read scripture. For after all, this was a man that God himself created and that God himself communicated to. And the Satan is talking to him to change his perception. So he is even influencing him so that when he hears the word of God saying, Satan says, oh no, he didn't mean it that way. You should know how God meant that so you can be free to do the great things and rise up even with the gods. Now we know all of them are false except one. Again, I like Mr. Farad's wit. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God means power and force. Now, we know that it is not correct. God is much more than power and force, but that is what he wanted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to see. Then he led the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to believe that the black man is the God. So So I guess that is what he was doing. He was checking the black man by giving him a definition for the God in the new language of W.D. Farad in the Nation of Islam, hinting. The God I'm giving you is not the Most High, not the perfect, pure, and just one. The God I'm giving you is power and force. Yes. So that is what I'm doing, and that is my nature. Ever since I was a boy, that was my nature, not to preach so much, but to teach. The Quran, Bible, designed to help man on all levels. Along with his strategy, his word grows. The more he progresses his plan and strategy, the more his words develop and grow. Now, the Bible says this. To save a lot of time, I'm not going to go and quote everything. You will not get it. You will get it later, inshallah. To serve a lot of time, I'm just going straight to the point. But I'm telling you, the Bible and the Quran, both books have it. If it is a major issue, it is in both books. Bible is a book of knowledge to achieve world dominance. So the Bible is designed to serve mankind on all levels, just as the Quran is designed to serve mankind on all levels. So the people who are uneducated, the Quran and Bible is designed to serve them. You read them, they serve you. You do not have to be educated. But the more your intelligence is developed and informed correctly, the more you get out of these books. That's natural. So what I'm giving you now, you should write it, my students, please. The Bible is a book of knowledge for educating the brightest minds and the most ambitious souls in the knowledge of how to achieve a dominance in the world or on this earth. That is what it's all about. I'm sure most of you know what a dominance is. Satan is a mindset. A dominance means that you are in position to control everything. Everything is under your authority. Now, who wants that? Satan, Shaitan. He is the number one villain, the number one criminal. He wants that more than anybody, more than anything. He wants that more than anything. And don't think of him as a person. He is no person. He is a mindset. And he can be communicated to any person. And that person who accepts that communication and starts to live by it and under it, that person becomes Satan. So now that this has been done, you can't look in the Genesis. Pardon me. You can't look in the Genesis or in the garden only for Satan. Shaitan, no. You have to look in the whole world because that is what he is, get the whole world. And you have to look at the highest places. That means you have to also look firstly in religion because that is where he started. He started to change the way God wanted us to see and perceive religion. Now, would you believe people who perceive themselves to be angels, being human, that perceive themselves to be angels, held high this thing, that they work to keep it hidden so they could get the benefit because they have knowledge of what is going on? So they could get the benefit of the existence of this thing and its role over the life of people for themselves, and they are not really shaitan. Man from his noble position to material interests. Now remember what was leading the angels before. God interrupted it. It was Iblis, a jinn, who had transformed himself an angel and was leading the angels in heaven. I'm giving you Quran, the word of God, And he caused a disruption in the heavens, and the man that God was making in heaven had to be rejected and sent down to the earth. Now, don't think of the sky up there and coming down here. No. Think of high principles, high and decent aspirations, pure intentions, etc. Think of that excellent of the soul, and now there has come an interruption, a disruption in that heaven that I just explained to you, a disruption in the heaven that made man fall from his noble position to material interest. That's coming down to earth, to material interest. And the Satan seduced him and brought him to fall. And the Satan was also in the garden. He was there as the leader of the angels. And God cast him down, rejected him, all of them. Plus, the man and his mate who was affected and had to be cast down. And they were cast down. Let's go back to perception. The problem is in your five senses and in your deeds. So when the Satan confused their perception and had them by his perception of reality, that is what started everything. That is what brought them all to fall. And the world from our prophet, communicating to our prophet by the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth, is Kubad. Gets you down into the earth, Kubad. Kubad means altogether, but it suggests like a thief. So where is the problem? In your five senses, in your deeds. Because this head has five fingers. This hand has five fingers, and this is what I act with. And it started with high deeds, not welding like I used to do. It started with writing. The hand that writes is over the welder in the establishment of the world. That is what I'm talking about. The welder is small. He is way down here. Starts with writing. So that is where the problem starts. Your five senses in your hand that writes. And as Allah says in the Quran, they write it and say, this is from God. Okay. So you want a dominance? Get down into the material earth. And it is going to eventually bury you, you greedy Satan. So to get man to go wrong, the Satan in the beginning of the Genesis invites him to look at the material world and see how great he can become if he thinks freely and not be hindered in his thinking by his fear of God. Look at the possibility that you have man to explore this material world and become very powerful, very productive, and live forever. I'm giving you the wisdom, and your rule would be everlasting. It will not be for just one season. I'm going to give you an idea for a rule that will survive all seasons. That's what his suggestion to Adam. That means to us, to people, then and now, and for all times. Okay. So I think that it's enough for that scene. You see, we are going from scene to scene. Now, we are on the dominant. I didn't forget the topic now. The topic is where we're going. Ummatan Wasita, the balanced community. So in the Bible, this language for educating the special and ambitious intelligence on how to establish a dominant in giving in many places in Scripture. But I'm going to share this one with you. In the Bible, the difficulty that a certain element amongst the Jews were having, mind you, how I put that, a certain element amongst the Jews, never think that Jews are a bad people. Jews are a good people, but they have been misguided themselves by an element amongst them. They have become loyal to an element that they do not know is the devil himself, Satan himself. I was happy to learn here recently that the world Jewry, world of Jews, do not accept Zionism. They do not accept it, and they condemn Israel, taking the position that God gave them the land. Now, this is world Jewry. It is on the web. You can find it on the web, you students who are serious about following my MIPAB or my school. You should get on the web and find it and see what they are saying. They say that there is no support for the establishment of Israel in the Torah, and that they say that there is no support for Zionism in the Torah. That's the majority of the Jews. The Quran never condemned all Jews and Christians. And the Quran never condemned all Jews. The Quran says most of them. The Quran does not condemn all Christians. Allah in the Quran says most of them, and we know that to be real right now. Well, Allah says that there is a party amongst them who believe in God and believe in promoting fair dealings amongst the people. And he says, let there be out of you a party, a group, doing the same, the exact same thing that Allah, with his words, credits the Jews and the Christians for having a special group amongst them who are committed and loyal to obedience to God and establishing the right way for man on this planet Earth, Jews and Christians. Then he tells us, you be a people, the same believing in God and promoting fair dealings amongst the people. Islahen Bani Naz. Islahen Bani Naz, that the Quran word is in Arabic. So your mother was a Hittite, your father an Amorite. So we have changed the scene. The scene is still on dominance, achieving that dominance. So this reference in the Bible that I want to share with you, that I saw, God bless me to see it, because about the crooked plan that the bad element amongst the Jews wanted to advance and give this to the world, because it is in the Bible. So the Bible is not for Jews. The Bible is for all people who want to follow it. It is given in the Word, and it is so clever. Most of us will never get it. Only God's mercy will help us to get it. These are the Jews now talking to the Jews to make the Jews aware of their heritage in the best and the most powerful way. It says of the Jews, your mother was a Hittite, your father an Amorite. Now, I want to caution you. When you research what I'm giving you, I am sure that there is no source to give you all that I gave you. You can't find anything out there that will give you all that I gave you. God has blessed me. A special insight. I'm not exaggerating, and I want no attention for myself. Amorite is really a play on Abraham. Hittite were a people who were mighty. They were very powerful materially, and obviously, if they were very powerful materially, they had great scientists, great wisdom. But what we should know most importantly about them is that they were all about achieving a dominance. Facing all other nations. The Hittites, they became very mighty, very powerful. And the Amorites is a play on, really, on Abraham. The Amorites were a people who were compassionate, loving, caring about the individual person in society, and trying to bring their people of their era to be a family people, caring about each other, loving each other. So the Amorites, you can hear a hint of the word amor, which in Spanish and Italian also means love. So the strategy is to have the leader be Hamite, be Hittite like, and the community Amorite like. Can you see that today, presently? You have a Hittite and the people Amorite. Love, America, supposed to be a people of love. But the rule may be Hittite. This is reality. Asa prayer is a middle prayer. So the balanced community, do not forget what the topic is, the balanced community, Ummata Wasata. And there is a prayer that is called by that name, by that term also, the midday prayer. And the same word is given for it, Salatu Wasata. That is the Asa prayer. Some think it is the noon prayer, but it is the Asa prayer. Because Asa means difficulty. So when you are going down, that is the most dangerous part of the mission, to go up the mountain and come back down. Going up is not as dangerous as coming back down, because your tendency is to forget, and you will end up tumbling, falling down, and be killed. You still have to be very cautious, especially if it is a steep mountain. And Asa refers to an incline that is steep, very difficult, and that is the trial of this world. When you are facing the trials of this world, it is very difficult. So you are trying to make your life comfortable, right? That is going down to where else will be found after the incline. So it is so dangerous and difficult, and the temptation is to maybe make some maneuver that will not be nice. You might say, Brother Shabazz, you go around ahead of me. And if you see him flip and fall, you know to walk around that the area. So the temptation is to do something crooked too, sometimes. So you need to keep the balance that Allah wants for us. Swastika, a sign for Hittite of the axis of the universe. So what does Allah say concerning those who have a desire for a dominant? He says, any who wants to corrupt or to have a dominant, he denies it. I mean, you might achieve it, but is not approved by God. That means eventually it is going to bring you to judgment and take it away from you. So we want to be clear before we go further with this. The Hittite, their sign is like the swastika for Hitler and his followers. And what is that swastika? It is a cross, so that Hittite cross looked like a Z. And they wanted to achieve a dominance, actually, in another class. So you hear the president of those in the government now, when they are addressing terrorism problems with the Islamic terrorists or the Muslim terrorists, you hear the term speak of the axis of evil. It is not the first time that they use that language, but now trouble for them in the world is bringing them back to use that language. So what is an axe? A cross, another cross. So what is the cross? I have commented on the cross before, but now I'm giving you some more comments on the cross. The cross is a symbol of universal and universality, just as the Hittite sign was a sign of the axis of the universe, the earth, number one. Their signs were that we identify with all of that you can perceive. So with your eyes and the senses, and we are going to conquer it in your mind and dominate the world. So that's the Hittite, the aspiration, and that is what they sought to achieve. And they did achieve a mighty government, a mighty people, a mighty nation. the sciences and all. Rab is the one who evolved mankind. So because a nation is advanced in science, that does not mean it has to be right. The small element is what all of us are suffering from, and that is what all of us have to make struggle, jihad, against. But you can't go directly at them. And I said it is an ideology, and whoever is behind the ideology comes under that mindset and become one of the devils. It is plainly given in script in Surah Nas, chapter 114 of the Holy Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kul ahu bin Rabbin Nas. Kul anthu bin Rabbin Nas. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of mankind. Lord of mankind means the one responsible for the advancement over a long history of the human being in society. So he is one responsible for that, the Lord of mankind, who evolved you and brought you to your best development until you achieve the growth and the better conditions that you have now. So God is responsible for that. So that is what Allah is saying when he says, Lord, it is not the English word, Lord. It is the Quranic word for Lord, Rab. So Rab comes from the word meaning to raise children, to take them from birth when they are delivered from the womb and then raise them. Now, man has nothing to do with caring for us. Well, science does, but it can happen without man's science. There are a few cases where we need the help of the hospital, clinical science, and et cetera. For the mother who is pregnant, most mothers, they know how to care for themselves while they are pregnant. And the baby is delivered and no man or human got into that work. So Allah created us in the womb, or in the body of our mothers. He created us. He created us and still creates us in the womb of our mother, in the body of our mother. But when the child comes out, it has to be cared for because it can't manage for himself or for itself, pardon me. It is totally dependent, right? So we take credit for raising the child, saying, oh, I did my best. And sometimes your best is wonderful. And people say, oh, you have such a beautiful and wonderful children. Well, the same care and devotion that the mother has for her child that God formed in her and delivered after 9 months normally, Allah has that for humanity, all people, for all his dependents. And all his dependents are all living. All of the life and creation are the dependents of God, Allah, the Creator. So Allah, when we say he is Lord, that is what we are saying. I am responsible for advancing on this earth. Without my help, you could not have done it. So he is Lord of all the world. And the word for worlds comes from a word meaning to know. It does not suggest material things. It suggests a process for perception, a process for the intellect, a process for knowledge. Don't we say the world of science and the world of science? So that is what Allah wants us to come to understand, the common knowledge, that we could not make the moon, the sun, the stars, galaxies out there. The common knowledge is where we should stop. But Allah wants us to come home to the bright light in that revelation to see that he is addressing the process of knowledge, science, education in the life history of all humanity. As without him, without an idea or a perception of a cause behind this universe, bringing it all to be and seeking to know what it is and finding its consistency, its unity in terms of the logic that holds all the universe, all the matters together. If you had not arrived at that, you would not have been able to develop your sciences and progress as you have progressed on this planet Earth. Tawheed, one God, creation is one logic. So they arrived at the monotheistic idea of God is what made all that possible. And you don't find any people, any of the nations that didn't grow with the monotheistic idea ruling and dominating the things now. It is only those who embrace that monotheistic idea that I explain to you that you should understand as Tawheed in its complete meaning and picture from Wahi, that means oneness. The idea of the oneness in Islam starts with one cause or one factor bringing all of it about, God the Creator, plainly speaking. It starts with God the Creator. Then he goes to his creation, and then we accept and witness that his creation is one, consistent logic, holding the whole thing together. So then we progress from that premise to man's life and say, yes, that man is one life and should be one family and one community. And nasu ummatin was ummatin wahidatin. Kana nasu ummatin wahidatin. All people were once one community. In the beginning with Adam, if we perceive it, that means that we all subject to one nature. So we had the same makeup in our bodies and in our minds. To start with, we were once one people, and they did not differ until knowledge came to them. And then one boasted in his little knowledge that he was able to grasp, see, and understand, and they started separating. So the black man, he didn't even see any knowledge. He was just affected by knowledge, and he started separating. And then Muhammad, he brought us to the Quran and the Sunnah. In other words, his job is through, as far as I am concerned. His leadership, as far as I am concerned, is finished. He brought us to the Quran and the Sunnah, pardon me. But now, brother, I'm going my way. Well, that's the way life is. You have to accept it and keep striving, because if you take up too much time with that brother, he'll hold you back. Our time is too precious. We don't want to do nothing to him except say salam. We don't want to do anything to him except say salam. We don't have the time to say as-salam. If you are confronted or happen to encounter the ignorant people, say to them peace. You don't have time to say as-salam alaikum. No, say salam and keep going. So on the cross now, it is a symbol or sign of universality. Universality in what? Universality in the pursuit of correct perception. Universality for the mind, the intellect, that wants to know and wants to search and wants to create and build universality for the sciences, universality for the thinker, then the philosopher, for the scientist, universality for people who want to improve upon human society. So you heard the expression double cross. That is what Satan did to us. Allah made our nature to be in the right balance. The prophet, peace be upon him, said, Kul ammatu, say, I have believed and thereafter be upright. So the balance that God created in our nature for us is upright. And actually every human being evolved to stand up erect. And all you have to do is raise your arms on a level with your shoulders and you form a cross. So the cross also is a sign of the uprightness, the balance Allah created for us. And obviously the Satan, Shaitan, wanted to deprive man that balance in his nature. It was lost when he refused God's plan for human beings, because Satan was cast down and told to do what? Bite the dust. Crawl on your belly. That's where your problem is, in your stomach. So what you're going after is going to pull you down upon your stomach. And you're going to have to crawl on your stomach. Your stomach will be your leg. So serpent skin is his means of transportation. And another thing strange about that creature called serpent, he has no legs, and he moves so spookily around on the ground. He will spook you up. He just moves so easily and softly with no feet, no legs. It's out of skin. Is also his means of transportation or transporting him. Yes, I don't want to take up too much time with these things. I want to stay on the course, but that is food for thought. He is silent, and he moves in a very spooky way. And I don't care whether you are a tough man or not, women right away, they accept that they are afraid of snakes. But some of the macho brothers, they want to pretend they are not afraid of anything. But, bruh, if you wake up at night or in the daytime, man, and you see one of those big snakes moving around, buddy, you are going to be frozen. So cross is a sign of original state that Allah made the soul to be in. So the cross is a symbol of great advancement, the original statue that Allah made the soul to be in, but it is also a symbol of great advancement in the world, that you have achieved balance. Now, the ancient also designed the scale that you weigh things in to be a likeness or a symbol for the natural balance that should be in human beings. They designed a scale with a vertical rod, like a little small pipe or board, and then they suspended a chain or rope from it and two cups or two pieces to hold a weight. They still have these scales around, and if you can find them somewhere, in fact, I don't think there is any scales older than that. It is the oldest of scales. So you know how much the weight is that you have, that is maybe 1 pound or 5 pounds or a different pound weight. So you put the known pound weight pieces on one side, and then you put the person that is buying on the other side. So if they are buying navy beans, then you put enough navy beans on the other side to balance the weight. Once you balance it, then it is accurate. So it is a quarter pound, a pound or two pounds pieces on the other side. When you balance it, you have 1/4 or 2 pounds of whatever is on the other side, balance. So that's the old scale. Adam is not flesh, but soul. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in the Bible, is a man after Adam. He is called the second Adam in Christian theology, and the Bible establishes that. It says that the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and it is going on to connect persons in his past who were supposed to be related to him or he descended from. It goes all the way back, naming different persons in the history. And lastly, it says, and Adam, who was created by God. So his family line of genealogy goes back to Adam. And they take it back to Adam to say that his father was Adam, and Adam was not born of male or female. Adam was created by God. Adam is soul. So therefore, if you understand, brother students, his father was not male because Adam is both male and female. And Adam is not flesh, meat. Adam is soul. So he created his genealogy back to Adam. And it says, Adam was created by God, meaning that whatever happened in between has no real importance in Jesus' life. It was not those in between who produced Jesus. It was the right, correct, perfect soul that produced Jesus, the soul that Allah himself created for all human beings. So Jesus is a symbol of the cross of balance. So here is himself a symbol, himself of the cross, isn't he? In his perfectly balanced soul and nature, so he is the cross, a universal symbol or sign that communicates great insight. Then they took him and put him on a cross, and they fixed him on that cross so that he had no mobility. They stopped him from having any mobility. So the cross that Allah puts us on is mobile. It is flexible. It can come out of the balance to do its work while spiritually obeying the balance through physical. The movements are out of balance, but they are coming from a spirituality that is still in the perfect balance. So his deeds are balanced. His works are just, honorable, because he is respecting the check of his nature and his internal, so he can perform all of these activities are from him, are formed from the core that is formed from the balance. So the actions are good, the deeds are good, the work are good, everything is good that comes from him, because he is coming from his correct balance in nature. So you don't have to have a physical picture. Understand the spiritual picture. Now, I know where I'm going. Be patient like I am. Jesus is also a sign of this great knowledge, this great science for achieving a dominance. So they made him a sign holding their secret for achieving a dominance. And that is why we don't accept the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They never killed him nor crucified him, but it was made to appear that way. People perceived that, but it didn't happen. That's how they perceived it, but it didn't happen. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So we are talking about the balance now. It is said of Jesus Christ, because he had this upright nature just as God gave it to the world in the first man, Adam, before he was deceived. He is the model figure. Now, the sign to the world of how man is to achieve the perfect government or the perfect rule for mankind, and it says in these words, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Shoulders are bound. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Yes. So he will be able to counsel government, talking about people only, mainly government. He will be able to counsel government, give them the best advice, help them solve their problems that are in the way of their progress, etc. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So when we read in the Quran that God has given us a balanced community, that is an answer to that promise in the Bible, that the government shall be upon his shoulders. That is that wonderful community that Allah gives us in the Quran, ummatan wasata. So there is a hadith that they say goes like this. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is coming back with a mighty sword. He is going to swing it, and it is going to be so big that he is going to swing it, and it is, and it's going to reach everybody on the planet Earth, and it is going to slay the wicked and break the cross, break the cross. And Prophet Muhammad said, do not break the cross. So this is what he told his followers. And when the world fought in a way, he cautioned them, don't destroy sacred things of the Christians. And he said, according to the hadith, the report, do not break a cross. So break the cross means break the code and get the secret. Now, how do we understand this hadith, that certain religious groups in Islam make a big deal out of? How are we to understand that the cross is going to be broken? He broke the cross and got the secret. That is the way it is going to be broken. You break the code and bring out the secret. So you are not going to the church and break those sacred emblems and things they have in there. There is no Christ Jesus coming back with a sword long enough to go all over the planet Earth, slay the wicked, and break the crosses and stuff like that. It was in my genetic life when I was a minister. Don't let me spook you up now. I am a rational man. When I was a minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Philadelphia, he had just sent me there. I wanted some flyers put out. I had not heard this hadith about the cross being broken, but I knew subsequently, I guess, that the cross was a problem. So I decided myself I could answer, I could always write and draw. I designed a cross and gave it to the brother, and said, go and have leaflets put out like this. I designed a cross that was leaning like the cross in the story about the black man who had compassion on Jesus when he was taking him to the place where they were going to crucify him on the cross. And they were making him carry his own big, heavy cross. Big heavy thing. And this black man in the crowd got so touched and pained by the suffering of Jesus, he ran and got under the cross. So this is the story. And he helped Jesus carry the cross to the place where they were going to crucify him on it. And at that time, I was thinking of that because it has been since then that I saw a movie where this black man came and he supported the cross of Jesus would not have had too much of a burden on him. So I had it like that. The cross was leaning like it had fallen over and I had it broken. So the vertical piece was broken, but still being held together by a little bit of the wood, but it was open at any angle like that. So there was jagged edge showing it had been broken. I did that as a young minister. And now in this life of mine, over 70 years old, God has shown me the real cross and the real meaning of breaking the cross. Praise be to Allah. And the kingdom shall be upon his shoulder. Man wants to achieve the idea of government, and he wants that government to be compatible with human creation or human nature. So the side of the humans as the balance is communicating or broadcasting that knowledge that this government is going to be compatible with the natural urge in the human life. And it shall be supported by the natural design, by creation and the human life. So that is what is going to support it. It is going to be balanced upon that. So when Allah says to us, it is the religion of origin for human life, it is Adam's design, the natural man, nature and design. It is the religion of origin, the one upon which he patterned all human society. All human society are patterned on this original pattern God put in the life of the individual person. Now, when you read our government language, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men have the same creation as created by God. That's what it is saying, as created by God. So we are all the same, equally equipped for what we have to do on this earth at birth. That's what it is saying. So we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by, before it didn't say, creator. They added that later, very recently. It just said, endowed with certain inalienable rights among these rights that you can't take away. No government has the power to take these away. So liberty means the right to develop your mind. So this comes with human creation. Government has not the right or the power to take it away. And among these life liberties, life means the right to live and to have a life. Liberty means the right to develop your mind and have progress for your life. And the pursuit of happiness is to own property. So this is how they interpreted it. So this is how they established for that language to be interpreted in the Constitution of our United States. The judges and whoever are going to be acting as authority with the Constitution, they are to have that understanding. Fitura, fatira, means he originated. Well, the same thing is said to us. Deen of fitri, deen of fitru, lati, fatirin, Nasiya Aleha. Deen al-Fitru Lati Fatirin Nasiya Aleha. The religion of the original nature, or the original, or the religion of the original design or pattern, the one upon what which God formed for all nations, for all people, originated. Not just form, but Tira means originated. Fitra means the original pattern. So Fitra means he originated, he found for the first time society upon that original pattern. That is the only way man has evolved. He has evolved upon that best of his nature. He has used his intelligence as it has been created or given to him in his original life by nature. And he has respected the best of it, of that life, excellence of his own life and development world because of his respect for that design in his nature, the best design in his nature. Come back to that innocent, pure life. So this is how man formed the world, formed society. And we have signs and symbols, or signs and wisdom, in Jesus Christ and in the cross and the crucifixion. And we have clear language in Quran. So to have this beautiful world that our souls hunger for or search for, we have to be connected with the best of our creation or our design as human that Allah, our creator, gave us. So we have to come back to innocent, pure light that has no bad motives, no bad intentions. The world went wrong when Adam went wrong. In the Bible, it says that the Father has to be brought back and reconciled or connected to the children, and the children with the Father reconciled. So if it doesn't happen, the whole earth is going to be hit with a curse. So this is what the Bible says. Now, I don't know how a preacher would commit, would comment on that to his congregation. He might think that the Father is God. He might say the Father is Jesus Christ, that we have to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God. He might say that, though it is the Son, not the Father. But it is simple, as plain as day. The word went wrong. The world went wrong, pardon me. The world went wrong when Adam went wrong. And Adam is a universal type representing the common life that God wants in all of us, that we take an interest in this creation, because he charges Adam with being a caretaker. So there were no houses like we understand them. There were no buildings, streets, and cities like we understand them. So what was he to be a caretaker of? What was he being wholly responsible for? The natural environment. So he created man firstly to be responsible in the natural environment, responsible to Creator in the natural environment. God said, whatever is in the sky, I made it to come down and yield its benefits to you. And whatever is in the earth, I made it to yield its benefits to you, all people. So that is the Adam that we have to be reconciled with. If not, all of us are going to be cursed down here on this earth. Come back and get the mind of the first man, get the heart of the first man. Male and female, you have to come together in that posture and in that position as the caretaker, custodian, khalifa, responsible for the environment, to your wife, responsible to your children, responsible to your community. You are supposed to be a developer. Allah put Adam in the earth to be a developer. And that is how he became the one qualified to teach even the angels the language, even their own names. And even in this day and time, we are living in, developers are still more Adam than anybody else. That preacher is not Adam. The typical preacher is no Adam. After the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get some of this good earth, and said, take responsibility for your community and build things. These preachers now are trying to build homes, and they're doing a lot of good work. But they didn't do it. They didn't do that before. So now they are becoming little Adams, little developers. And that's good. I like that. And we like that. Salakallahu Zadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for the Zeeman, Elahi Ubey. I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marad Speaks, for allowing me to come before you once again. And I thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the understanding or the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening. We will continue tomorrow, inshallah, at 7 p.m.